What's up and welcome back to the Secret Sauce Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Swing. Have you ever experienced success at work only to realize that it was at the expense of your most important relationship at home? Or worse, has a super challenging season at work spilled over into your marriage, making everything feel off? We are going to be talking a good bit about marriage today. And I realize that all of my listeners may not be married. But if you are single and you'd like to be married one day, I'd still encourage you to listen, as this could be a great way to start thinking about the type of marriage and spouse that you'd like to have. Also, I know that God calls a select group of people to live a life without marriage. If you feel that calling on your life, I still believe this episode could be beneficial to listen to, because these leadership principles are applicable in other relationships in our lives too. My guest today, Lance Howard, is an executive coach. He's an expert at helping leaders create a passionate marriage and a killer business. I said again, a passionate marriage and a killer business, not a passionate marriage or a killer business, all without losing our souls. I've noticed in my life that I can often have two separate lists of priorities. On one hand, I can have the list of priorities that I'd rattle off if you were to ask me what my priorities are: faith, then my marriage, then my kids, then my fitness, then work, the way that most of you would also list your priorities. But if you zoomed in on my daily actions and thoughts, they would tell you a different story. There would be a different list of priorities there. So if I put a projector in your mind and I watched your brain activity over the course of any given day, what would it tell me about your priorities? Would there be a disconnect between the priorities that you would list off and what you're focused on over the span of any given point in the day? Regardless of your answer to that question, I believe our marriages can be the biggest contributing factor to success in our lives. Unfortunately, it can also be the most susceptible to get the leftovers of our time, our energy, and our effort. Lance is going to give us some simple, practical ways we can reprioritize our marriage in a way that makes it a weapon and something that fuels every other aspect of our lives. We'll cover some key items like handling rejection, emotional regulation, measuring success, dating your spouse, and addressing your heart. Let's dive in. Super excited to welcome Lance Howard to the podcast. Thanks for joining us today, man.
Man, Josh, thanks for the invite. I'm honored to connect and lock arms together with you today.
What I've seen you talk about recently is something that the world needs to hear. So I'm so excited for my audience to get to learn from you today. We can't get to the value yet without hearing what your go-to sauce is at Chick-fil-A when you're walking in. What are you going with?
All right. So to be honest, I'm going to say Chick-fil-A sauce, but if I'm going to like pull back another layer behind that, the truth is like it's grilled nuggets and kale salad these days. And so, man, I try not to eat the sauce very often. And so if I do have sauce these days, it's the breakfast salsa that I ask for to put it on various things. So I try to eat clean when I'm going in there for various reasons. But I love the Chick-fil-A sauce. I mean, that's the classic breakfast salsa otherwise.
That's awesome. Very on brand. I know you're helping leaders in a lot of different areas. And one of those areas is physical wellness, as well as, you know, business wellness and marriage wellness, which we'll get into here in a second. Great encouragement there. Next time I go to Chick-fil-A, I'm going to think about Lance, and I'm going to get grilled nuggets and a kale salad. I may have to, I'll throw some breakfast salsa on there. Breakfast salsa is not one we've heard yet on the podcast. So you've got
to go. Well, I'm glad I can introduce y'all to something new.
There we go, man. Lance, I'd love for you to unveil your secret sauce as you think about the key ingredients of how you're adding the most amount of value to leaders today. What would you detail is some of the ingredients of that secret sauce? How are you adding value to others right now?
My heart and passion truly is behind, I think, coming out of my own woundedness and trying to transfer that healing to other people. It really is this idea of helping people create a passionate marriage and a killer business so that their soul does not go to sleep on them. Meaning that so many times we get hyper-focused, like I did years ago, my executive ministry role, that I got hyper-focused in that role, that my marriage started to suffer. But I couldn't really see it. I thought things were going really, really well. But shingles, high blood pressure, the typical burnout story happened to me. And so really my desire is to say, hey, how do we shore up the foundation of a passionate marriage first? Then let's create a killer business so that your soul does not die.
We've all experienced varying degrees of what you just mentioned through work, you know, focusing on your marriage first and then focusing on your success in business. What I have seen be true in my life is my marriage will fuel my business, but it doesn't work the other way around. My business is never fueling my marriage. If anything, it's an obstacle. It's a stumbling block for me. Man, I'd love for you to, you've done a lot of work with this and you've helped a tremendous amount of leaders in these main arenas. I'd love for you to share, what are some of like the major stumbling blocks? What are some of the major challenges that you see as you think about somebody struggling with having a healthy marriage and being a successful business leader at the same time?
I think one of the primary principles, and it's really a principle that I'm oftentimes starting coaching sessions with if they're willing and open. And it's a pathway of forgiveness in order to get it to self-regulation. I truly believe like emotional awareness, emotional IQ, what I say being like a calm leader, being the calmest person in the room. But oftentimes we have to go to deeper places in somebody's story to figure out like, what does it mean to be the calmest person in the room? And a lot of times there's bitterness, resentment, withdrawal, that needs to be unpacked in order for a leader to learn the components of being the calmest person in the room and self-regulating. Because once anxiety happens, whether it's at home or in the workplace, oftentimes we react in very unhealthy ways. And so being the calmest person in the room just really means like, how do I pay attention to what I'm feeling? Communicate my desires, wants, and needs with clarity, with conviction, with a sense of courage, with a sense of like, this is where I'm going. This is what I want. But that all starts with a posture of the heart, posture of like, okay, do I have resentment, bitterness, withdrawal that's happening anywhere in my life and things or myself that I need to let go of in order to move forward?
How you handle rejection and emotional regulation is critically important. I know the trap that I've fallen into before, and I imagine other people have too. And I'll say this too, as a quick side note, for all the listeners that are out there, I know that your relationship with a significant other could look, you know, a number of different ways right now. You may have just, you know, stepped into marriage. You may be married for decades. You may not be married yet. I would encourage anybody to not tune out. This is really valuable wisdom that is going to be applicable one day to a relationship that you desire. And it's so much of this crosses back and forth between relationships in every area of our life. So lean in. There's going to be tons of application here. I've fallen in the trap. Go back to our regular scheduled programming here, Lance. I've fallen into the trap before of like, you think once the acceptance has happened that rejection is gone forever. Like once I'm married, right? There's no more rejection. Like I got the yes, you know, we had the I do's, there's no more rejection. Or I got the job, right? I got the title. I got the promotion. They accepted my proposal. I shouldn't have to deal with rejection anymore, but anybody who has been in any of those scenarios would know that's a lie. There's still plenty of rejection that's going to happen, and we have to be prepared for it. So, Lance, walk me through, you mentioned those things, how you handle rejection and self-regulation, emotional regulation. How do you react in light of those factors that are happening to you? How would you encourage somebody to handle that situation as they may be getting rejected in a number of different scenarios? How would you encourage somebody and help them self-regulate and emotionally regulate?
Yeah. I think paying attention to your body is one of the most difficult things to do, but it's also becomes a gift to ourselves. And so I'll just cut straight to the core of like a passionate marriage. And so what does this really mean to face ourselves in the context of marriage when we get rejected, right? If I pursue intimacy and intimacy doesn't happen based on my preferences, desires, wants, or needs, especially if I haven't even communicated those, that's probably the first thing that has gone wrong, is that I've created this this narrative that this other person doesn't even know what's going on. But then, you know, your husband or your wife has an opportunity to say, not tonight, you know, for whatever reasons, or, hey, that's not my desire. That's not my preference. And so in that moment, over the years, long time ago, I would be the man that would roll over and have the cold shoulder the rest of the night, and then begin to wake up the next morning and be like, okay, so who's going to go first this morning? Who's going to take that step of being the bigger person, as my wife calls it, or that pathway of forgiveness? But the truth is that I'm learning, and I have learned, that I've got to pay attention to, one, am I pursuing intimacy, like true intimacy, or am I pursuing validation? I think so many times when I'm pursuing like validation, my heart gets set up for disappointment. And then that's when that rejection begins to set in. But if I'm pursuing intimacy, it's not only about me giving love, it's also about me receiving love, and vice versa. So in order to go back to your question, I think trying to pay attention to, for example, naming what you feel, and this is part of the hard emotional heart work, is like, you know, I feel like a failure. I feel incredibly insecure. Those things are okay. Those things are normal. The problem is that we think we're feeling anxious or we're feeling angry. We do those behaviors. We don't necessarily feel those behaviors. The feeling is rooted in a deeper story, a deeper narrative of something that you feel like you're in a failure, and unpacking that narrative in a way that begins to serve you in the context of your marriage as well. And this also implies in the business world. It's like so many principles of business. I believe that every decision that we make is an emotional decision. And so we think we're making decisions based on data and Excels and numbers and KPIs and a dashboard, all these fun and fancy things that are beyond my pay grade. But the truth is, every decision that we make is an emotional decision. And so learning that pain cycle and learning how to walk in peace and freedom really begins to set not only your marriage free, but begins to set your business free as well.
Well, you went there, Lance. So I'll go there too. You mentioned intimacy. How would you rate health and intimacy? And this is a lot packed into one question, but also help our audience. What are some of the main contributing factors to intimacy as you look at helping people hit a home run in their most important relationships?
It's a great, great question. And without being like too nuanced and overly simplifying, I think paying attention to the heart of one another, like truly like serving one another, is intimacy. Listening to one another, seeing one another, exploring current fears that are going on, exploring current dreams that are going on, pursuing one another in that format. But even more so, a standard thing I ask every male, since I primarily serve males in the coaching realm, is that, hey, what's going on in the bedroom and what's going on in the boardroom? Meaning, such a bad question, I get it, and I don't mean it to be like a lazy question. That's not in the intent of it. But I have yet to meet a man that can't clearly say, hey, this is the last time that we had sex. So I ask, I'm like, hey, how is intimacy, meaning how is the sexual interactions with your wife? Yet have met a man that can't say, oh, it was last night, or it was 3 months ago, or 4 years ago. There's not a right or wrong answer to this. That's not the point of asking the question. The point is trying to explore the heart of where he feels, I'll just say it, incompetent, right? Mm-hmm. It goes right to the heart of a man real quick. And so I'm also asking about revenue. Okay, what if you want X over here with your wife, what do you also want in revenue? So it's a baseline question, especially for the male audience, to help us know, like, okay, we have a baseline, but now what do we want? And that's really the difficult work of exploring intimacy, is that for me, as a recovering nice guy, is like, I used to think that it wasn't okay to speak up for my desires, wants, and needs. But now I'm like learning that when I take up more space, actually love and respect begins to grow and cultivate in the context of our home, in the context of my business. And so it really is a multidimensional aspect of what does intimacy mean? Yes, it's not only frequency, but it's also like seeing the heart, having meaningful conversations, and everything in between.
I like the line that you drew to the boardroom. And I imagine more leaders could tell you what their revenue numbers are than what their intimacy numbers look like. They're super important. I mean, what we just talked about a second ago in our conversation is typically your marriage fuels your business, not the other way around. Yet we can be so much more focused on these revenue numbers as a measure of health. And I believe, right, revenue and your bottom line numbers, those are the results. You know, those are an indication of what's happening within the business. I would say an indication of the culture that you have inside of your organization and with your team. What does your leadership capacity look like that is leading to those numbers? So just like there are small things that make up those revenue numbers, I would say that sex in your marriage is also an indicator. I think that's a success metric. It gets made up of a lot of smaller things. And I know you just mentioned some of those things, like what does it mean to have a servant heart, to be selfless in the love that you're giving to your spouse. But what are some practical examples of some things that lead to those success metrics, specifically on the marriage side of things?
Yeah. So if I'm going to go back to some of my this personal story and anchor it there, I think so many times as men, right, especially high performing men, whatever that may look like to somebody listening, when I was roughly 35, 36, man, I felt strong, powerful, capable, showing up in my leadership roles, right? It's like, oh man, I can win and dominate in this space, and this God has entrusted me with this. But then, like, we feel, or I felt, incompetent, or I didn't have what it takes at home to really pursue deep, meaningful intimacy. And so, for me, some of those metrics really begin with a foundation of tell me about your date nights. You know, on the podcast that I host, the very first question every single person gets is like, hey, what was the last date you went on with your wife, and what does that reveal about your leadership? So you hear the heart and the intent of what's going on with somebody real quick, and what the measure of being in relationship with somebody really means. And so one, it would be date nights, but don't be a lazy date night person. It's okay to have frequency, but there is also a monotony to, like, oh yeah, we have date night every single week. Well, like, is it meaningful? Mm-hmm. If it's not meaningful, maybe consider creating an emotional tension and just pulling back to like once a month and saying like, hey, what if we got rid of like every single week date nights and just said, I'm going to do my part to make a super meaningful date night once a month versus a lazy date night every single week. So I think even in that, like, we have to be careful of quantifying a checkbox system of like doing something every single week. So date nights would be one.
Let me break down date nights for a second before you head to the next thing. Give me two examples of an intentional date night, planned date night, but for my audience, give one example that's like, hey, here's something that, you know, maybe is a little bit more expensive, like on the expensive side of a date night. Like, here's something that you could probably do. And it doesn't have to be grandeur, this huge extravagant example. And then give me a cost-effective option too. Some of my people out here who are balling on a budget, get like, help demystify the illusion that I have to have money to be able to have a date night with my spouse. So I'd love to hear two examples from you.
All right. So real time example, my wife and I are supposed to have a date night this Friday. Like, right, we're recording this on a Wednesday. So in a couple of nights, we're supposed to have a date night on Friday. It's going to be relatively a normal date night in terms of, you know, going to one or two or three of our local dives. But I say I enjoy dancing. I'm not good at it, like, right, at all. Like, my wife's not good at it either. But a few months ago, I was like, hey, I want to take a couple more dance lessons, like, just to kind of keep leveling up. And so there's some dance lessons going on in our area. So that's the plan for this Friday night. But it's still super low budget. I mean, even you know, probably get out for the evening for $100. I think if I look back on a decade ago for myself, like, you know what? There was a season that we had to go get Chipotle bowls and bring them back to the house and be like, this is our date night, and sit on the patio together. You know, I think sometimes we get lost in that date night, to your point, has to be X, like, right. And it's gotta be extravagant. I think there's a time and place for quarterly or biannual type stuff together once a night, once a week, getting a hotel ever so often, away from the kids, away from the family. But even to go back to my point about dancing, I have a friend, they go out to the lake near us, and he just turns on his radio and they dance, and that's their date night. Like, right. And so, whatever you're curious about, pursue that curiosity and invite your spouse into that and just have fun together.
So even if it just has to be Chipotle bowls and a movie, money is not an excuse not to have date night. Even if you can't get guac on that Chipotle bowl, you can still have.
Did we just get sacrilegious, like going beyond Chick-fil-A and saying that I'm cheating and going to Chipotle?
I think it's okay. We can mix it up every now and then, right? Well, man, this is super helpful to hear. And I know I interrupted you. You're about to transition from date nights to the next thing. So keep rocking and rolling there, Lance.
Well, as a man of faith, as a what I call like a wholehearted leader or wholehearted husband, wholehearted marriage, I don't think any of these things that we do can be without God. Like, sure, like you may not believe in God, but my heart says that the best life is going to be a life following Jesus. So praying together, that's another super full, vulnerable space that I've heard from men, that it's like, well, this feels awkward. It feels risky, right? Well, just start. And there's too many resources out there just to be like, hey, I don't even know what we're doing. I don't even know how to pray together. Let's just read this prayer together, right? Just start. And even just start by saying, hey, what's going on? How can I pray for you this week? Like, if you're not even warmed up to praying together yet, just start. Because here's the kicker, and here's why I bring this up, Josh, is that I don't want to mess up the statistic, and I don't even know if I can quote who the research was done by. But if you're praying together, marriages that pray together frequently, the divorce rate is like 1% or lower. Like, so think about that, mind-boggling. Like, hey, here's the secret to a passionate marriage, like, and to divorce-proof your marriage. Like, pray together frequently. Like just figure it out somehow. And you may not even need to hire a coach or go see a counselor, like, right? Because God has already given us the keys to the kingdom. It's just like, start there.
I'm just like, who is not taking those odds? I will take those odds all day. And it's so simple. I think simple, right. Simple in concept, difficult to pull off. What a great practical way, like, ease into it. You don't have to cannonball. You could toe dip in the shallow end by just saying some things like, hey, is there anything I could pray for you for this week? Is there anything that I need to have on my radar? And then ease into fully submerging. And I think praying with my wife, Erin, has been just the biggest game changer. whenever things are happening. It level sets us. So,
but since these ideas are coming up, I'll just share two quick things. Like, another thing I'm a huge fan of, and it's just like the 5 minutes and 5 feet proximity of your spouse, like, right? And in general, still talking about men, like, just go home without your phone and spend 5 minutes and 5 feet of proximity with your spouse and just listen, look at her, ask her a few questions, right? And do that for a month. And she's going to be like, what just happened? Like, you've been spending, like, right? So it's super easy in concept. The second one, and this is like a game changer. This is a whole different podcast to even go into the art about it, but it's called the 20-second hug. And I like love the 20-second hug. Just ask for a 20-second hug, start giving 20-second hugs, and man, just things begin to happen, right? All the wonderful cortisol and dopamine, it does it, magic, and intimacy happens in a different way. So,
two very actionable steps that all of us can go do in our marriages. The two things that I just heard you say, just to reiterate it, make sure everybody heard it. The 5 minutes, just put your phone away, go be in close proximity. You said within 5 feet, 4 or 5 minutes, I think is what you said, and see what happens. And then the 20-second hug, hug it out, count inside. Don't count out loud. That'll make it really weird. but count internally for those 20 seconds, and it'll be a game changer. The last thing that I wanted to wrap up with, Lance, for the listener that's hearing all this and they're like, man, this all sounds really good, but it just feels like there's not enough time in the day. Lance, I want to have a passionate marriage. I want to have a killer business. I want my soul intact, but man, I just feel overwhelmed. I feel like I don't have time to do all of the things.
No. I mean, I'm more and more convinced. And the reason I say time is that overwhelmingly here lately, people are saying like, hey, help me with time management. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, like, if you need a time management hack, you don't need me. Like, right. You need a larger story to live into, something that compels your heart into a story worth living and sharing. Right. A million miles in 1,000 years. I haven't referenced this book in ages, the old Donald Miller book that came out like 10 or 12 years ago. I don't even know. Like, right. He talks about that classic story at the intro of the book of like, people aren't talking about your cool car in the driveway, right? People are talking about the stories you're creating. And so I would just challenge people like what stories are you really trying to create and live into? Because it's not a time management problem. It's a story management problem that your heart is not wrapped up into a big enough story, whether it's serving your wife, whether it's your kids, whether it's serving your business. How do you begin to allow desire to come back in a way that your heart's compelled by living in something larger than yourself, larger than the latest revenue target goal, even larger than frequency and intimacy with your spouse? Like, how does your heart step into what I would refer to as the kingdom? Like, right, being fully alive means something different if you're following in the way of Jesus. And I think we have to like pull back from this time management lie and the modern frantic families that's happening, and just say, hey, like, help me to live a bigger story and figure out what that means to you in your unique season, and listen to the heart of the Father and start following in that direction.
If you're listening and you're like me and you're like, I just can't get enough of this Lance guy, you need to go search Wholehearted Leadership in your search bar with whatever podcast app you're listening to right now. And Lance does an awesome job of putting out some great content, live coaching sessions, different things that are super cool that I think will be really beneficial to everybody. Lance, for anybody else that like wants to stay connected with you, wants to know more about what you're doing, the content you're putting out, how would you recommend that person can follow along on Lance's journey?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Josh. The primary way, if you're intrigued by daily stuff, or at least pretty frequent, is on LinkedIn. I'm active there and try to serve an audience there and encourage people in their journey. The second place is via my website. I've created a short book, workbook actually. The title is like how to be fully alive from the bedroom to the boardroom. And there's 46 hacks per se. But it's really a pathway of like, hey, take this workbook. And I think in 5 days, if you buckle down for 5 days, you're going to have more intimacy and more revenue once you begin to have enough clarity and conviction about your life. So just my website and lentzhoward.com. So lancehoward.com.
Yeah, you don't have to remember that. I'll have it linked in the episode description below so that you can go there and get to it really quickly, along with the resource that Lance just mentioned. Don't pass up on it. It's so good. I'm imagining that there's some pretty powerful questions in there. Lance, full transparency here. Me and Lance talked yesterday as we were planning this conversation, and he even asked me just a couple of questions in closing that I imagine are on this resource. My wife and I, Aaron, just had a phenomenal conversation as a result. So a great place to reignite some passionate conversations is by injecting some of these questions into the mix. So go and do it. Don't pass up on the opportunity. Like I said, Lance, thanks so much for joining me on the Secret Sauce podcast. I know that I've been impacted and so many others have been impacted getting to listen to you share. I appreciate all that you do, man.
Thanks, Josh. My pleasure.
Thank you again, Lance, for coming on and adding so much value to all of us. Do yourself a huge favor. If you're not connected with Lance yet, please go connect with him on LinkedIn. You will not regret it. My prayer for each of you is that desire, passion, and purpose would get injected into your marriage and your business after listening to this conversation. But that can't happen if all we do is listen to the episode. You have to go do something with it. So I've got some homework for all of us Secret Sauce Nation. Assignment number one, go snag the free resource on Lance's website that I'll have in the episode description below, How to Be Alive from the Bedroom to the Boardroom. It's going to help you gain more clarity and conviction in your life. Number two, the 20-second hug. The next time you see your spouse, you've got to go hug it out for 20 seconds. Number three, the daily 5 for 5. Every single day, spend 5 minutes within 5 feet of your spouse without any distractions. That means no phones, no TV on in the background. Number four, and the last assignment here, is if you don't currently have your next date night on the calendar, schedule it. It is just not very likely that date night is going to happen by chance. You got to be intentional about it. You are one of the most dynamic and growth-minded leaders that I know if you're listening to this podcast regularly and you have that learner's mindset. I cannot wait to see what happens when you turn this insight into action. Stay saucy, everybody.